Broadcasting live from the Gwinnett studio of Business Radio X, located inside Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies that do business in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, alongside my co-host, Stephen Julian. Stephen, how are you today?
I am cold. How are you, Mike?
I'm good. Why are you cold?
Well, they told us it's the coldest day so far this year, and it's like 30. So, apparently we've had a warm winter, but...
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was
I stumped you with weather, Mike.
I know it's cold outside. I didn't know it was like record cold.
Well, that's what they made it sound like. It was so I had to say that, but I really wasn't that cold.
Okay, so. But you're warm now in the studio.
I'm great. It's wonderful. It's a toasty 70 degrees. It's fabulous.
Okay, thank you. It's because we have some warm folks around us as
Absolutely.
Another great show for Gwinnett Business Radio. Joining us today is Bob Bryant. Bob is currently the Director of Sales and Marketing for the USTA Southern Section and the Tournament Director of the BB&T Atlanta Open. Also joining us is Chris Wilkins. She is the area manager for Kelly Services. And also in the room with us today is Mike Stiles. He's the chairman, writer, and performer with Sketchworks. So we got ourselves a little actor here in the room today. And looking forward to talking to Mike. But we're going to start with Bob Bryant with the USTA Southern Section. And Bob, you also run the BB&T Atlanta Open. First of all, thank you so much for joining us here on Gwinnett Business Radio.
It's a pleasure to be here. Pleasure to see you again.
First of all, let me ask you a very general question about the USTA. Talk about what is the USTA and talk about the tennis community in Atlanta.
Well, the USTA is the United States Tennis Association. Their mission is to support the growth of tennis throughout the United States. They also run and manage the U.S. Open and also the Davis Cup and Fed Cup teams for the United States. So pretty much all things tennis sort of reside within the USTA. The USTA National and then also USTA Southern is a section of the USTA. So the USTA is broken down into 16 different sections around the United States. Southern happens to be the largest. We have 9 states within the Southeast, and over 25% of the total membership of the USTA is within that section. And to give you an idea, pretty much a third of those 9 states members are actually within the greater Atlanta metro area. So Atlanta has the largest tennis participation community in the country by far. So more people playing leagues and tournaments here in Atlanta than anywhere else in the United States. So very unique area for tennis and one that's very supportive of tennis.
You also run the BB&T Atlanta Open. Tell us about the tournament, how it started, what that's all about. You've had some pretty big names over the years as well.
We have. Atlanta has a long history of tennis from the Olympics and hosting Davis Cup and then having had a tournament here for over 20 years. The tournament moved away for a variety of reasons, and there was about a 10-year absence of professional tennis in the Atlanta market. Being the largest tennis market, it's one that the USTA always wanted to get a professional event back to. So when the opportunity came up, the USTA and specifically the Southern Section, which is based here in Gwinnett and Norcross, decided to purchase that event and move it back to Atlanta. So we started out at Atlanta Athletic Club. Atlanta Athletic Club, the second year, was hosting something called the PGA Championship. And so we had to move because our date sort of conflicted with that date. So we moved temporarily to Racquet Club of the South, which is an old sort of institution almost within tennis, one of the largest indoor tennis facilities here in Atlanta. And then because of that move, we had an opportunity to really look at where else might we be able to play tennis. And we came upon new ownership at Atlantic Station in a very unique setting that we were able to put tennis right in the middle of the city. So built on outdoor courts in the middle of Midtown Atlanta with the skyline all around us, it's just a phenomenal setting. So we're now in our third year. Last year we had Andy Roddick as our champion. We like to say we were so good that Andy decided that he needed to quit after he played Atlanta because he just happened to retire at the U.S. Open right after us. So we were his last victory. Atlanta was actually his first victory when he was 19. So he kind of started and finished his career in tennis here in Atlanta.
Talk about the economics of putting together a professional tennis tournament in Atlanta. Where do you derive your revenue from, and all the work that goes on behind the scenes?
Yeah, there's an awful lot. Sometimes people say when you tell them you run a tournament, they go, "Oh, what else do you do?" As if it's just that one week out of the year, and we kind of come together right beforehand and put it together. But it is a year-round job. There's a considerable amount of effort, obviously, that goes into it. A lot of logistics, a lot of work on the player field, and enticing players to come and play in the tournament. It is a global tour, so it's one of the few sports leagues, if you will, that all professional players are within one league around the whole globe. So there's 60-plus tournaments around the world, so there's a lot of competition for players, and so there's a lot that goes into that. The other part is that we actually are in a temporary setting. So we set up a stadium court of 4,000 seats, and then and two other courts with over 2,000 seats and three practice courts. Everything is set up on a temporary basis for us. So we're, in essence, building an event site every year. Over 400 volunteers and a lot of folks. Actually, you've participated before. We have
not as a player. Let's be clear. Yeah, although I'd love to.
I don't think anyone was worried about that, Mike. Okay. I don't think anybody was confused.
I just want to make sure Stephen was paying attention. No, you weren't playing. But you were running the PA for us 1 year. So, again, just a lot of effort. The revenues, you know, it's a tough market in general, and it's starting to get a little bit better right now. I think sponsorship and other forms of advertising have certainly picked up in the last couple of years. But it was very lean, and to become profitable, which is obviously the goal of the event, it's, you know, we can support it in terms of promoting tennis and a hot tennis market, but we know that we also want to be financially successful. So as a part of that, you know, tournaments derive 40 to 60% of their revenues from sponsorship. So the move downtown was very advantageous for us and very well received, and helped us land a title sponsor in BB&T. BB&T being, I think, the third or fourth largest bank in Atlanta, happens to have their regional headquarters directly above where we just built our new stadium court. So it's very convenient that you see the big BB&T marquee right over the top of our stadium. And I think that, you know, obviously played a part in their choice to come on board with us. So we've grown other sponsorships from Coca-Cola and American Express and Esurance and Cadillac last year was our official automobile. So, you know, sponsorships, again, 50, 60% of the mix. And most of the rest is tickets. And again, the move downtown really made a difference for us. We had a ton of coverage, ton of publicity around it, and we're able to go over $1 million in ticket sales, which was a very significant number for us. So we are financially viable. We broke a profit last year and look to keep growing with that new site.
Bob, if here at Gwinnett Business Radio, we talk to business leaders. We also believe that a lot of business leaders are listening. If I'm a small to medium-sized business here in Gwinnett County, what are some things that are available to me beyond just buying tickets, taking clients, things like that? Are there opportunities for small and medium-sized businesses to get involved in something like this?
Sure there are. And everything from vendor booths on site where you can actually market products and do experiential sort of marketing in front of a fan base. We have a good fan base that fits well with many businesses. It's very affluent, tends to be you know, higher income. You know, tennis is a great sport for hospitality as well. So we have everything from suites and courtside seats and a variety of packages that we can customize and put together. But it's great because it's world-class athletes. It's well-known players. And it's an incredibly fast game now. You know, guys on a regular basis are over 130 miles an hour with their serve. We got a guy from the Georgia area, John Isner, who plays in our event. John is known to go above 140 miles an hour with his serve. But then there's also breaks between matches and at changeovers and a lot of time for socializing and networking. So tennis has always done very well, and we've done well. We're adding a lot to our stadium even this year. We're adding more suites. We had a lot of success with our suites that sort of overlook the stadium court, and particularly when you think of a July summer night with, again, the lights of the skyline all around you and being outdoors in the middle of that watching you know, an Andy Roddick or a John Isner or some of those. It's just it's a great opportunity. So really can customize things for any size business.
You've mentioned John Isner, and he's scheduled to appear this July in your tournament, along with Marty Fish, who's won it a couple times, Ryan Harrison, one of the young, upcoming American players, and the Bryan brothers, who I think are still, are they still the number one team, doubles team in the world?
Absolutely, by far. They're the reigning gold medalists in the Olympics, and they just won the first title of the year in Sydney, and they're heading into the quarters of the Australian Open right now. Probably the most prolific doubles team in history. These guys are over 12 Grand Slam titles and just broke a record for the number of consecutive weeks at number one. So very and happen to be great guys on top of that. So wonderful guys, great to work with, fan favorites. Again, Atlanta being such a good tennis community, we have more doubles play here than anywhere else. So quite often there's even more response to a doubles team like the Bryan brothers, so that we know they'll do well and people will respond to us having them in the field.
One other question, get off the Atlanta Open for just a second. I want to come back to that. But the USTA Southern, what beyond just playing, what are some other things that the USTA does to help develop tennis, to help grow tennis, and maybe also combine being a participant as a player and a fan coming to a tournament like that? What are you guys trying to do?
Well, the USTA puts on a lot of programs around tennis. So certainly we conduct a variety of leagues, from adult leagues and junior leagues to combo and flex and mixed and a lot of varieties of league play. We also conduct all of the sectional tournaments. So each state has a USTA chapter, if you will, and then the states qualify to go to sectional championships, and then from the sectional you can go to a national championship. But on top of that, we're also involved in everything from run and roll to special populations to national junior tennis and learning chapters, and a significant push on 10 and under tennis, on getting kids engaged in tennis. We've created a whole new format for teaching pros and facilities to work with that has smaller nets, smaller rackets, and lower compression tennis balls. A lot has gone into over 3,000 courts around the U.S. have been refurbished to create new lines so that on an existing court you can have the smaller courts for 10 and under play as well. And then that sort of graduates into junior team tennis and some other things that are kid related. We're going into our third year now of offering first year free memberships for kids 10 and under. So anybody who's interested in getting their kid engaged, whether it be a public tennis facility, private club, et cetera, most all of them now have opportunities for kids to get engaged, to play, and we make it very easy that the USTA membership isn't an obstacle for that because the first year is free. So a lot of neat benefits that go for kids to get involved.
Typically, when we have somebody on, I always ask one really stupid question. So here's my question. What was it, and this is not the second half of the question is the dumb part. But first of all, what was it like working with Andy Roddick, especially as we knew he was counting down to his days to retirement? And secondly, my dumb question, did you get to meet Brooklyn Decker, his model wife?
I did. You know, Andy wound up liking Atlantic Station so much that Brooklyn came in, and then Brooklyn's family, and then Andy's family. And I will say that after he won on Sunday night, I was at the post-match press conference sort of lurking in the back to hear what he had to say about. I knew someone would say, are you coming back next year? So I looked over at him, and he said, well, he's taking it month to month, you know, at this stage of his career. But that night his agent called and said Andy wanted to come back. So I got very excited about that, and obviously it spoke well for how we manage the tournament. He had a great quote where he'd actually said that he thinks at 30 years old, you know, on the pro circuit, you think you're 80. So Andy says, you know, I've seen everything. You know, I've seen all there is to see. And he says, but I, you know, honestly, I didn't think I could be surprised anymore. But this venue, he said, this is new. And he said that for tennis to grow in the United States and really around the world, we have to think out of the box, and he called it out-of-the-box thinking. So, you know, had a lot of good interaction with Andy in that regard. He won the tournament, so that always makes him much happier. And his family and sort of his entourage, very supportive. And again, we were negotiating, had actually finished the deal. I was in New York for the U.S. Open and finished the deal for him to come back 3 days before he announced his retirement. So he literally was on the fence about what he was going to do with his career. I'm not without, you know, I've only been a tournament director for 2 years, and some guys have a long list of stories of Andy Roddick. He is very specific, these guys, as he says, look, everything about your life is very controlled and dictated to perform at that level. What you eat, when you wake up, when you practice, when you work out, every piece of your day for an entire year. So if anything ever seems to kind of fly in the face of their schedule based on your tournament schedule, then you can have a problem. So we weren't without some fun moments. Andy, we had a rain delay for one of his matches, and he decided to go back to his hotel, which Atlantic Station you can walk to. But he thought that it was going to rain the rest of the night, and it was going to be a rainout. Well, he was supposed to stay in the locker room. So when they went to look for him, he wasn't there. They start calling around. By the time they find him, they said, basically, your match is going on in 25 minutes because we're looking at the radar. There's going to be a break. Well, he wasn't happy about that. So we had an interesting first, you know, 20 minutes or so of that match, because he decided to come over to the corner, and I was standing next to the ATP Tour supervisor, which may not have been the best place for me to be. And he between every point, came over to talk to us, and I say that nicely, in terms of talking. And literally every point, he was playing a guy named Nicholas Mahut, who on the other side I started to feel bad for, because he had to keep waiting for Andy to be able to go over and tell us another thought about him being out on the court that night. And at one point, he actually suddenly looked at me, and I thought, well, this is – now I really get the full experience. I'm being yelled at by Andy Roddick in the middle of a match on court, you know, and he doesn't know me that well. So, and he said something to the tune of, what do you need, one set? Meaning he thought that we were doing it from a ticket standpoint, that we wouldn't have to do rain checks and that everybody's ticket would be used once we had one set. And he walked away, and I turned to the supervisor and I said, should I tell him it's a complete match? And he said, now may not be a good time. So he wound up winning that match, and actually, like I said, had the whole family come in and really enjoyed Atlantic Station and played a lot of golf. That's his new passion. We got him on Peachtree Golf Club. He wants to come back and play East Lake. He's actually building a house in the mountains up in Cashers at Wade Hampton. He is just he has a bucket list of where he wants to play golf. So he was playing his tennis based on where golf courses were located. So just interesting tidbit on Andy.
That's great. A little behind the scenes of professional tennis.
I'd like to see a YouTube video of Andy, quote, talking to you. That probably was interesting.
We are talking with Bob Bryant, is the tournament director for the BB&T Atlanta Open. Bob, one last question. What do you believe this tournament means to the city of Atlanta, and what are maybe some of the future plans for the tournament?
Well, I think it's a very big deal for tennis in Atlanta, and I think both the USTA and the ALTA community here in Atlanta have really responded to it. I think they've shown that they like the location and where we are. They are supportive of tennis in Atlanta. There's been a knock at times that the Atlanta tennis community didn't support events that came here. As someone who's played ALTA and been a USTA member prior to this position, I sort of beg to differ with that. And I think, like everything, you have to provide the product. You have to provide the players. You have to provide the talent. But you also have to put on a show. We like to think we've got one of the best parties in the summer going on in the middle of all the tennis that's being played. And as a promoter, I'm kind of an old school guy. I promoted for Ringling Brothers Circus and Disney on Ice and touring shows in my past. You know, the show's got to be there, and you've got to really execute the event. So I think that with a focus on that, we've seen that everybody is responding. And now this has become sort of the tennis event of the year for the Atlanta tennis community. And I think it is important if you know, there's moments when you see kids lining up for autographs from a Roddick or an Isner or Marty Fish, and we usually get most of the top U.S. players here. And there's no doubt, you know, we all can remember as a kid how we were inspired by events or by access or even, you know, watching. And when you can do that live and provide an event where we can price it in a way that kids can get out and really see this, it's certainly just going to help tennis continue to grow here in Atlanta.
Give us the dates for the 2013 tournament, and where can people go to find out more about tickets, or if they're a business owner, want to find out more about sponsorships?
July 20 through 28th. So qualifying weekend is the 20th and 21st, which is actually a great opportunity at a very low price to come out and see 32 guys who are, you know, world-class tennis players vying for the last four spots in the main draw of the tournament. So the main draw begins July 20th through 28th. BBTAtlantaOpen.com is where you can go for all the information on tickets and on the venue and on sponsorship and other opportunities. I will respond personally to anybody interested from a hospitality or corporate standpoint and getting involved in the event.
All right. Bob Bryant, the Director of Sales and Marketing for the USTA Southern Section and Tournament Director of the BB&T Atlanta Open. Bob, thanks so much for joining us on Gwinnett Business Radio.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
All right. Now we turn our attentions to Chris Wilkins. Chris is the Area Manager for Kelly Services. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Tell us all about Kelly Services, what the company does, and specifically what you do.
Okay. I'm the area manager for Kelly Services, so I'm in charge of the six locations that are located here in Atlanta. And we have locations in Midtown, Marietta, Lithia Springs, Duluth, Alpharetta, and Conyers. So I'm on the road quite a bit, but we provide employees to companies in all of those areas.
Tell me about the history of Kelly Services.
Well, the staffing industry was actually started by Kelly Services in 1946. William Russell Kelly saw a need in the marketplace. He actually started with a few of his own secretaries bringing in and taking in a little bit of extra work, some data entry and copying and mailing and things like that. And then it turned into people requesting, could he send his secretaries out to their location when theirs were on vacation or out of the office? And hence the staffing industry was born.
What kind of jobs does Kelly Services offer, and what kind of folks are you looking for?
Well, we have a long history in staffing, and I think that most people, their path has crossed Kelly Services at one point or another. Some people remember us a long time ago as the Kelly Girls. Well, now we're the Kelly Girls, Guys, Professionals, everything. But we do everything from commercial, so light industrial, janitorial, secretarial, all the way through to professional technical, so IT, scientific, engineering, and finance. And when you get into the specialty categories like those, you have engineers who are recruiting other engineers. So our recruiters speak the language of the companies that they are placing people in.
You mentioned that Kelly Services is one of the originators, and this has been around for a while.
Yeah.
Speak a little bit about what the trends are in the workforce and how Kelly plays in those trends and how you might be leading those trends in the workforce.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of changes through the past, I'd say even just the past 5 years, through the recession, where people were a little bit more hesitant to bring on full-time staff. So they relied a lot on the staffing industry because it is a flexible workforce. So if you need people, you can bring them in for a shorter or longer period of time, or even leave them on a temporary payroll through the duration of a project. When working with Kelly Services, we take full responsibility for the employees. So their tax and benefit package, anything that comes along with that, they're fully our employees. So your responsibility as a customer is to place the order and let us know when the assignment has come to end and what the job duties are. So it really takes a lot of time and effort away from the customer, especially in the time when maybe your HR staff was really stretched thin during the recession. That's where we could really provide a service to be able to fill those positions. And we read through the resumes, we test them, we make sure that they're qualified candidates. And we have a regular set pool of people who come to us frequently that we have people that are on the ready.
So you kind of have to balance things off, Chris, where you're working for the client or the employer.
Yes.
But you're also working for the employee or the person that's looking to work.
Right. They're both my customer. Yeah. I'm taking care of the employee and trying to help them reach their career goals, whether that be, you know, to work in several different industries to try to get a feel for what they want to do long term, or maybe it's to get into a very specific company, into a very specific job. But I do see our employees as our customers as well. We take really good care of them, and we take really good care of our customers.
So in that balance of employee and employer that you deal with both of them, let me give you an opportunity here. Talk to the people who are looking for work or who might be saying maybe Kelly Services is a good something for me to look into now because I've been out of work for a while. What kind of advice would you give them, and what would you tell them to do, not do, as they're looking at that? And then also talk, if you want, on the employer side of things. I've never used a temporary staffing service. I don't need that, or it's too expensive. Talk to the employer as well.
Okay. Well, to the employee themselves, the advice that I would have is, in your downtime, educate yourself on everything from social media to your computer skills. Those are the things that are really in demand these days. Make sure that you have a very good looking resume. And if you're not quite sure how to develop that, Kelly Services will help you. But there are also resources within Career Builder where you can see example resumes and put one together. Almost every employer these days, no matter the position, entry level or higher up, they're looking to see a resume. They want to see what you've done in the past. And people are not afraid if you have a gap in employment, because they know that we've had a hard time in the recession. It's just, what did you do with it? Did you make good use of it? On the Kelly Services side, if you have your resume developed and you have an idea of what you want to do, you would just call one of our six offices and we will kind of talk you through what our process is. And if you work in an area that aligns with some of our customers, then we will bring you in, conduct some testing, have you fill out an application, and you are in our database. Most of the people we can place within a short amount of time, as long as the expectations are realistic. And if not, we keep you on file, meaning we have all of your employment history, not just your resume, for jobs that will come along that do match your background.
On the second half of Stephen's question, for the employer, especially one that might say, well, I'll find my own employees myself, I'll do the hiring, what would you say to them?
Well, I spoke a little bit about it being a fluctuating workforce and you being able to adapt to the needs of your business. But we also handle everything from a HR perspective. So prior to coming to Kelly Services, I was in HR management. And if you could have told me that I could hire 100 people and you would hire 100 people and take responsibility for them for me, I would have jumped all over it. So it's a... It would make their job easier. We provide a very, very skilled workforce, and it's just based upon your request. If you tell us that they need to have certain skills, those are the skills that they will arrive at your doorstep with.
How does it work for an employer if they hire the employees? You send employees their way. Yeah. Is there a set fee? Where does Kelly Services make your revenue? Where do you get
your
revenue?
There is a fee that is associated. Well, we do several different types of employment. We do temporary, which is you pay per hour for the temporary based on the skill set that you have requested. Then we also have direct hire, which is you contract us to find that person and you pay a fee based on the job that you've asked us to hire for. And then a lot of people will do kind of a combination of them both. Maybe they want to, you know, they call it try before you buy, and it happens at every level of the business, but they want to come in. They want you to come in, see what kind of employee you are, see if you have the work ethic, if you meet with their culture, if you have the skills. And then at the end of a reasonable period of time, they will provide you with full-time employment.
You mentioned that Kelly Services was one of the first in the industry. Mm-hmm. Obviously, having a rich history and having a strong background is one of the ways that Kelly probably sets itself apart. What are some of the other things that set you guys apart? What's your value-added proposition?
We have extremely experienced recruiters. And like I mentioned earlier, if we're dealing in a professional technical space, the people who are doing the hiring for those positions are somebody who actually speaks that language and probably has even held that job in the past. We conduct extensive testing based on the skills that you provide to us that you need in the position. And I think our customer service is probably our best quality. When you work with Kelly Services, you're assigned a recruiter who is there to attend to every bit of your employment needs. And that's your contact. That's who you call if you need anything that has to do with those employees. So it's one phone call away and the job is taken care of.
So if Bob over here with USTA, the Southern Section, needs 20 employees, full-timers to come on board or whatever, you don't just go ahead and say, here's the 20 people, and then he never sees you again.
No.
Talk about what you do after you've already assigned some folks to his way.
It's an ongoing customer service relationship. And I'll just give you an example. We have a customer who called us 2 weeks ago who needs 125 customer service reps. They would like for them to all have full background checks run and begin to show and be at work on February 4th. So Kelly Services has the resources to mobilize a large enough team to provide interviews, testing, the entire nine yards, get the group of 125 people ready in about 2 weeks. And then once they are on site with the customer, then they will have a Kelly representative who is on site as well, who will tend to not only the customer's needs, but all of the employees' needs. So they'll kind of watch after them, if you will, supervise their own group of employees. And it typically comes down to the customer will provide them operational support, and Kelly Services will provide them human resources support.
Apart from having a lot of satisfied clients, how else do you guys find your new clients? Obviously, somebody can call you up with a specific project like you just mentioned.
Correct.
What are some other ways that, you guys are growing the business and finding new clients?
We have sales positions on every level. We sell locally. We also sell nationally. We deal with, if I were to give you a list of our clients, it would probably be all of the companies that you guys know and see every single day. We deal with almost every major employer in and around the Atlanta area. So we do most of our selling through relationship building and through doing a good job for someone, being recommended, visiting with that person, and beginning to work for them.
We're discussing Kelly Services with the area manager, Chris Wilkins. Chris, tell us a little bit about your background and what do you enjoy most about what you do these days?
Oh, I love my job. I love being able to provide people who really want to work with jobs. You get to see the satisfaction of somebody who maybe hasn't brought home a paycheck for a while, being able to do that and support their family. And I feel like it's extremely meaningful. I have been with Kelly Services for 8 years. I really think that it's a company that stands for something and provides a valuable service. We even have an area of our business where we supply substitutes to schools. And we do 100% fill on our substitutes with our schools, which means that when kids show up to school, there's a teacher in the classroom. And it's a pretty valuable service. So I love everything about my job. I
would say that's important, that when our kids show up in the classroom, there's a teacher there.
Well, you'd be surprised that with the resources that sometimes the school districts have, that's not always possible. But we have a program where we employ substitutes, and just like we would fill any other need, we can fill that need as well.
So speaking of the schools, that was something that I wasn't expecting to hear that you guys are involved in. You mentioned some of the other industries you do. Go back through the main ones, and then maybe are there a couple that people wouldn't think of? Well, Kelly can't help me. I'm involved in, I do Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus advertising and promotion like Bob did before. So what are some of the unique ones you guys do?
The substitutes that I was discussing, that is our Kelly Educational Group. And we really do everything from your entry-level janitor all the way up to very specific recruiting for the areas that I mentioned, the finance, engineering, IT, and scientific. So I challenge you to bring me a job that I cannot fill. Now, there are certain things that we don't do just simply because of a safety or a hazard level. But beyond that, we really try to cooperate with the customer to try to fill their needs.
All right. We'll start with that employer first, that one that wants to challenge you or they know they have a need for some staffing. What's the best way to reach out to Kelly Services?
Just call one of our 6 locations. You can ask for me, Chris Wilkins, personally, and I'll be happy to talk to them. Just give us a call and we'll begin the dialogue.
And is that the same for the employee or the person that's looking for a job?
It is. It is.
So is there a where would you send them online maybe to find out your locations, the phone numbers, all that?
Yep, to kellyservices.com. It'll tell you everything about our company as well as the openings that we have.
Wonderful. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us today on Gwinnett Business Radio.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Chris Wilkins, who is the area manager for Kelly Services. As we move on now here on Gwinnett Business Radio, our next guest is Mike Stiles with a company called Sketchworks. Mike, you're the chairman. You're a writer. You're a performer for Sketchworks. Tell everybody, what is Sketchworks?
Well, it's a very unique and very different entertainment experience here in Atlanta. And thanks for having me here very much. I've always wanted to be on, what's the name of the show again?
He's a comedy guy, and he's already starting with the comedy.
I was told Ryan Seacrest would be interviewing me. Is he outside?
No, I am Ryan Seacrest.
Is this the warm-up? Okay. Well, I'll go
Mike,
ahead.
Thank you for joining us today on Gwinnett Business Radio.
I'll go ahead.
We're out of time.
I'll go ahead and tell you guys what Sketchworks is. It is a sketch comedy troupe. Now, here's the thing. We're the only sketch comedy troupe in town. There are a lot of stand-up comedy clubs in Atlanta, great ones. You can go there anytime and see a great stand-up act. There are a lot of improv troupes in town, and people get improv very confused with sketch. Improv is not written. It's a bunch of actors getting up on the stage, soliciting suggestions from the crowd, and making things up on the spot. Sketch is traditional sketch like you would have seen on shows like Monty Python, Mad TV, Saturday Night Live, In Living Color. You know, if you don't think all that stuff was written, you know, you're an ill-informed TV viewer. It's all scripted sketch comedy. Even going back like the Carol Burnett show, you know, those things were fueled on sketch comedy, the variety type shows. So that's what we do. Our shows last about 2 hours, and it's one short scripted sketch after another, about 3 to 4 minutes each, one right after the other. There's changes in costumes, changes in sets. It is a very high energy, very high paced, exhausting experience, both for the actors and for the audience. It's a wild ride. And the reason we like doing sketch comedy, you know, as opposed to improv, and a lot of our people do stand up and they do improv, and there's a great appreciation for that art. But we like to celebrate the art of comedy writing as well as comedy performing. We're really into the craft of writing comedy.
And I could say I've been to several shows, so I've enjoyed it over the years. Where do you find your actors and your writers and the performers and that are part of Sketchworks?
Kelly Services is usually who we go to for our comedy staffing. No, you know, it's one of those things that no matter what you do in life, there's a part of you that wants to do the funny stuff.
I got your new PA guy, by the way, for your next tournament, Bob.
I forgot to ask where you stand on grunting, that whole issue of can you grunt when you play tennis?
Tournament directors aren't allowed to grunt.
Yeah, it's probably very distracting for the players when someone on the side is going, ugh! Yeah.
Which I think is what Andy Roddick said when he got woken up from his nap and had to come back to finish the match, but maybe a little bit more.
Our people are actors. You know, they have a desire to act for a living. That's not always possible to pay the bills as just an actor or as a writer. So, you know, they all do different things in life as a career. But, you know, they hear about Sketchworks. They come to a show. They love what they see. They picture themselves up on that stage doing the same kind of thing, or they picture themselves writing out a sketch and seeing it come to life and become real right there on the stage. And, so they approach us, and we have a class system that's set up kind of like Second City, which is an improv troupe in Chicago, very well known. We have introductory sketch writing and sketch performing classes, and then intermediate, and then there's a master class. And you kind of work your way up through the system so that one day you're ready for the main stage troupe, and that's you up on that stage performing and getting belly laughs out of a packed house.
So we're talking with Mike Stiles from Sketchworks. He thought he was going to talk to Ryan Seacrest. I thought I was going to interview Ryan Stiles from, you know, Drew Carey's show. But so it's not just coming and watching, but people who want to actually get involved and learn more about this. So it's a very interactive experience.
Yeah, it is. It's not as interactive to come as an audience member. And really, it's so funny to watch the audiences come because they have no idea what they're going to see.
Because there aren't many sketch right. comedy out. You're the only one in Atlanta.
They're very confused as to, as to what's going on or why. You know, some people come in expecting to see improv, and then they realize, well, that's not what this is. This is much bigger than that.
Do they shout out just randomly?
They do. They,
you know,
what's going on here?
Paper bag!
And they try to stop the show, and that doesn't work. Other people think it's a play and that they're going to see, you know, a full-length story. And then when these little individual sketches start getting thrown at them, they're like, what is this? What have you brought
me to? What happened
to
the guy before?
And some very well-done pre-produced film things that you show up on the big screen
right?
as well. Very
yeah.
much like Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, we do some pre-produced short videos that we incorporate into the show because we got to have some time to change clothes backstage, after all. And we have a YouTube channel that those go up on. Yeah, people are very surprised when they come because they really haven't seen anything like it. They haven't been to anything like it. And by the time they leave, we always get the same comment. You guys are so much funnier than Saturday Night Live.
How big is the cast?
The cast is usually about 8 to 9 people. That gives everybody plenty to do. And, you know, the fun part about bringing new people up through the system is everyone comes with their own new characters. You know, just like Saturday Night Live, one group will come along and then another group will bring their point of view, and the same with the writers. We have such a bizarre melting pot of people, every race, you know, every persuasion, every point of view, every political stance. I mean, nothing would bring us together if it weren't for comedy. But we all come together for the love of comedy, and so our shows reflect that. We have so many different voices and points of view in our comedy that you're going to walk away loving some stuff and hating other stuff, depending on your point of view. Although we've never really had people say they hated it. We don't get many walkouts because we have a guard at the door, for one thing. But that's what's another thing that's so fun about it is every sketch is – it's a world premiere every 3 minutes. Because if you don't like what you're seeing now, something else is coming in 3 minutes. It's going to knock your socks off.
Is there anything that's off limits or when you're performing it or writing it thinking, maybe we shouldn't do this? Or is it – hey, you don't – just you go for it.
No, we have some writers and actors that should be institutionalized really if, you know, we turned them in. They probably would be. Nothing is off limits. Comedy tends to be the only politically correct free zone left where people can express what they want to express, say what they want to say, and let the audience be the judge. You know, if they boo us off stage, then we'll know how they felt about that. Or if they're roaring with laughter, we know how they felt about that. But we encourage different points of view. And yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot of rules.
The people that come through your classes and some of them who eventually become part of the cast, they're an eclectic mix. They're a diverse background. Where do most of them come from, or what's the breadth of where you found some of these people who've come?
Atlanta has a very, very large acting community and getting larger all the time because so many productions are coming here for, you know, the tax benefits. So Atlanta, you know, really is becoming Hollywood South. And so a lot of people are getting interested in acting and in performing. We share the space with an acting school called Your Act, which trains people to do on-camera acting, on-camera auditioning. A lot of people discover us that way. By the way, the theater, we do have our own theater facility. It's in Decatur, and it's technically in Scottsdale, which is just outside of Decatur. But we just say the greater. We're inside the perimeter. Come on, give us a break. Have you tried to rent a theater? It's expensive. But it's a great place to be.
And you guys are a nonprofit organization, so nobody's getting rich off this.
No.
I mean, ticket sales, I guess some sponsorships as well. I mean, that's where you bring in your revenue. And how difficult is it to get the folks to leave their TV to come see some live comedy?
Wow, what a good question. You've made me glad Ryan Seacrest is not in here doing the interview. The part about getting people to come out of their homes and put down their phones and put down their iPads and come out and experience live comedy with other human beings and sharing that experience, that is getting really, really hard. And it's not just us. The improv clubs, traditional theater, and you know, stand-up clubs, they're all undergoing the same thing. It's like, boy, it's harder to get people to come out and do stuff. Once people do, they come back. And that's we've been around for a long time now. We've built our audience. We always sell out the house. You know, we've got our next show opens February 1st. One of our dates is already sold out. So, you know, we're in a good space where our theater holds 99 people, sometimes a little more.
99, not 100, but 99.
There's a reason for that. But, you know, it's hard to get people to come out. But if they do, and once they do, they really love what we do. The nonprofit part, yes, we're a 501c3 nonprofit arts organization. We're very fortunate in that we have no debt. The money that comes from concessions and tickets always covers our nut. Nobody gets paid. Writers don't get paid. Actors don't get paid. We do this purely for the love of being on that stage, making people laugh. Now, our tech people, they like to get paid when we have posters printed up. For some reason, they want to get paid. They've sent large guys, burly guys with hairy knuckles to make sure we understand they want to get paid. But so, you know, we can exist just on ticket sales and concessions. But the 501c3 allows people to participate and support what we're doing with additional donations.
Mike, I asked you, you know, before you came on, is there a question maybe you'd like me to ask you? And one question that I saw that kind of stood out, it's like, why do you want me to ask you this? Do all the actors and performers, and I'm reading it verbatim, do all the actors and performers get along, or is there jealousy, catfighting, and backstabbing?
I wanted you to ask that because, yes, there's jealousy, catfighting, and backstabbing. No, that goes back to what I was saying earlier.
Wait. That's all? You're just going to say it and then move on? I mean, you got to dig into that a little.
Well, there would be hair pulling, but we're wearing wigs, so that doesn't really do anything. But the reason I wanted to ask that was going back to what a wonderful place it is. If you've created a place where people who are just diametrically opposed to each other and who wouldn't get along or work together in any other place or any other format, you know, we're working together and, you know, laughing together and creating something great together that's making people laugh. And that's one of the things that I am so proud of about Sketchworks is all those different people, all those different backgrounds, all those different points of view coming together to do that one greater good, which is to give people a better day. No matter what they're going through, people go through rough stuff. And if they come into our theater and for an hour and a half to 2 hours, they are laughing harder than they've laughed in 5 years. And that makes you feel better than anything else you could do.
Okay, Mike. Mike Stiles, by the way, with Sketchworks. I say I've never been to a show. Tell me about maybe some of the reoccurring characters, or give me a little comedy right now, or some impressions, or
say something.
Give me a reason that I want to come see you so far you have not been funny at all.
I know. Well, let's see. I was going to give you a dramatic monologue, actually.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. People, another reason to get involved in Sketchworks is a lot of agents come to our shows. A lot of people in the industry come and see our shows, and people get hired to do commercials, TV, movies.
I heard that John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, Chevy Chase, they all started with Sketchworks. That's
what I'm saying. You know, they don't get paid, but they do get exposure. They do get booked. They do get jobs. So that is, you know, a very big benefit to being part of the Sketchworks organization.
Give me one of the more popular characters over the years.
It's not me, but we have a guy named Shanester Merriweather, celebrity casting director. And he's always running down the people who come in to audition for him. He belittles them. He, talks down to them. It's not terribly far removed from real life and how the industry is, but he wears this bright yellow suit, and he's not gay. He's just from Michigan. That's his explanation for his demeanor, and he's one of our key characters, and he hosts a lot of the shows. We've got Notorious D.A.D. He's a white, middle-aged, suburban rapper, you know.
I think he's my neighbor.
Yeah, well, he raps about what he knows, and that's all he knows, is life in the cul-de-sac. So, you know, he's made several appearances. And if you're interested in seeing a little bit of what Sketchworks does, you can go to youtube.com/sketchworks, and a lot of our pre-produced videos are right there.
When you said you were having a new show coming out February 1st, when do the shows normally, you know, what are the nights, what are the times? Because you mentioned where the theater is already.
Yeah, we do 3 show runs a year, in spring, winter, and fall, and then we do a one-night-only Christmas show and fundraiser, so that's kind of our calendar. Each show run lasts 5 weekends, and it's every Friday and Saturday night at 8 p.m. And then, you know, we have other stuff, like the master class does their own performance. You know, we have a master class show or showcase, and then that lands on other weekends. And in the summers, we actually have a sketch teens program where teenagers can get involved. We clean it up a bit, a good bit. It's safe for the teens. And so they get to go through the Sketchworks experience and put on their own show. My own daughter actually, you know, did that. And, boy, she caught the bug, which I don't know if I want her to have that bug or not. But, yeah, it's wonderful that the kids absolutely love being able to make people laugh and not get sent to the principal for it.
Mike, you mentioned the YouTube videos that people can go and watch some of the pre-produced stuff and laugh their silly heads off. But as far as getting tickets, showtimes, you know, locations, you know, as far as, you know, how to get to the Decatur Theater or the theater in Scottsdale.
Scottsdale,
wherever that is. Because, you know, you put on your GPS and sometimes it won't show up, but it's Decatur.
You put Scottsdale in, your GPS goes, yeah, right, come on, where do you really want to go?
Nobody goes there. You have a website for Sketchworks as well.
We do, sketchworkscomedy.com. Sketchworkscomedy.com, you can read all about us and what we do and all the schedules of all our classes and shows and performances. Are right there, and you know, we would love for you to come check us out, because we can promise you something you're not going to get anywhere else in Atlanta.
And it's very affordable as well.
It's really cheap. I mean, compared to what other shows charge, it's like $15 the tickets online.
Well, I'm going to make
a 2-hour live show.
I'm going to make a personal appeal to Ryan Seacrest to go to sketchworkscomedy.com, since Mike didn't get the interview he really wanted.
He'll get to finally meet Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan, you know, Ryan went to Georgia, worked at the campus radio station where I did, where Mike did as well. So, you know, there's that Ryan Seacrest connection.
Yeah, he owes us.
Snooty celebrity.
Somewhere in my mind, he owes us.
Exactly. Mike, thanks so much. Continued success. I mean, it's, you know, you guys work very hard. I mean, you have normal, typically 9-to-5 weekday jobs, but you do this because of the love of it, and I know a lot of people enjoy it.
Yeah, well, thank you. It's a pleasure to do it. We love doing it, so come see what we do.
All right, Mike Stiles, the writer, performer, and the chairman of Sketchworks. Also, again, our thanks to Chris Wilkins, the area manager for Kelly Services, and to Bob Bryant, who's the director of sales and marketing for the USTA Southern Section and the tournament director of the BB&T Atlanta Open. As always, a big thank you to all our guests. Quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio airs brand new live shows every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 o'clock, and that our program can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station. Of course, you can listen to any of our programs anytime, 24/7, by logging on to businessradiox.com. For Stephen Julian,
I'm going to go email Ryan Seacrest right now.
Yeah, Mike, we have our own comedy guy.
We do.
Not very good.
You may want to talk to him after the show.
Get him a discount on classes.
I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.